This is Vatican Radio. I'm Tracy McClure. The Congolese government and M23 rebels have signed an agenda for dialogue in peace talks in Kampala, Uganda. News reports say the agenda includes review of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement of March 2009, security issues, social, economic, and political issues. While the recent violence between M23 rebels and the Congolese army has displaced tens of thousands of people across the Democratic Republic of Congo, despite the official end in 2003 of a regional war that drew in a host of neighboring countries, much of eastern Congo remains under the control of armed insurgencies and militia groups accused of rapes and killings. Nearly two decades of instability have left millions of Congolese dead. Some 140,000 people were displaced in one of the most recent episodes of violence. Help Age International, an international aid agency which supports the elderly in situations of poverty and severe need, says about 12,000 displaced people over the age of 50 are in serious need of help. I spoke to Francis Stevenson, Help Age's emergency response manager, about their efforts to assist the victims of violence in Congo.
What they are finding is that there are many older people amongst the people who are being displaced. Many of them are separated from their families, and so they're not being cared for by their families. And when because of their age, they're not able to access aid on their own, they don't have anybody to help them. And so where our teams and our community workers are able to assist them, that they can assist them. But what we're worried about is that there are thousands and thousands of older people who don't have anybody to help them at all.
Why have they been separated from their families? I know physically they're weaker. They might have real mobility problems. Did their families flee without them?
You see that very often, actually, in mass displacement situations, is that older people and children as well, so that the more vulnerable people tend to be left behind. They're either left behind in the communities in their original homes and they don't make it to the displacement sites, or they when they get to the displacement sites, they've been separated from their families in the chaos of moving under an extremely violent situation, which is what has happened in the eastern DRC.
So when we're talking about elderly, what age group are we talking about actually in Congo?
Well, we tend to think of people over about 50 as needing help. I mean, it's not a hard and fast dividing line, and many people of that age are perfectly capable of being extremely capable and looking after children, for example, as many older people do in situations where the middle generation is missing due to various factors such as conflict or HIV/AIDS or economic migration. And older people are playing an extremely valuable role there. But as people get older, of course, they get more infirm and more dependent on other people, whether that's their families or their communities or aid agencies or government services. But when they're old and infirm and separated from families, they find it very difficult and sometimes impossible to reach those services. What that does is actually put aid agencies in a position where they should be taking older people's capabilities into account and providing aid in a way that is accessible to and appropriate for older people.
Now, I know you are present in one or two of these camps where people have been displaced. What services are your people there on the ground actually able to offer the elderly?
Well, the main service that we're doing in this extreme initial phase of the displacement is we have older people's associations already established in those camps. And these are associations where older people, they know where other older people are, what their needs are, and they can provide a kind of outreach service. They actually go and visit older people, other older people, find out what they need, and they put them in contact with other services. So, for instance, if WFP, the World Food Programme, is doing a food distribution, our older people who are our community workers are able to enable other older people to access those food distributions when otherwise they might not be able to. Another service that they've been providing is helping older people to reconstruct the temporary shelters that they brought with them from the previous camps where they were living. They brought dicks and tarpaulins and things like that, but they were too many of them were alone and unable to re-erect those shelters, and so our community workers have been been helping them to do that and make sure that they've got some basic shelter. And they're also able to help older people who need access to healthcare. They can put them in touch with agencies such as MSF, for example, who are providing emergency medical care there. And it's important to remember, of course, that older people not only need the normal kind of healthcare that everybody else needs, but they also need particular services for non-communicable diseases such as heart conditions and diabetes, the kind of conditions which are very common in older people. They don't affect younger people so much, but they're very common in older people. And those health needs don't go away when a conflict and a disaster happens.
And you're very concerned that there might be an outbreak of cholera.
Yes, many agencies have expressed that concern, MSF and others, for example. And what we know from research that HealthPage has done together with MSF is that in cholera outbreaks, older people are extremely vulnerable. The kind of received wisdom in amongst health professionals is that children are the most vulnerable, but our research that we've conducted during the cholera outbreaks in Haiti and Zimbabwe, for example, shows that older people are also extremely vulnerable. They're as vulnerable as children under five. And so our message really to agencies that are going to be providing cholera treatment, that they need to take account of older people and not ignore their needs.
Now, of course, here in Europe, it's winter time, very gelid temperatures. What sort of weather conditions are we seeing at this time of the year in Congo?
Well, it's a temperate. It's virtually on the equator, but it's quite high above sea level. As you know, there are volcanic mountain ranges there. It's quite high above sea level. It can get very cold at night. They need blankets. They need shelter. And so although it's certainly not as cold as it is here in Europe, it's not the kind of conditions that certainly weaker older people could be left to exposed to at night.
Now, you said it's still a very volatile situation and you don't want to put your own people at risk. But what sort of risks are there for the people who are in the camps right now?
At the moment, what we're seeing is it's a situation which is a bit reminiscent of the situation after in the years after the genocide in Rwanda, where rebels and militias are infiltrating the IDP camps, the displacement camps. And so it's actually very difficult to be able to separate the perpetrators of the violence from the victims of the violence, so to speak. And so this puts people at enormous risk, obviously. In a way, the militia are using the civilian population as a human shield, and this exposes them to high risk of violence. They have been subject to a lot of criminal activity, and we're starting to see evidence of, there's evidence of troops from various countries, and so it is still a very volatile situation for the local population and for international agencies.
Any hopes in that area? Any bright lights in the future for peace?
Well, one certainly has to hope so, because the local population have been enduring the most intolerable conditions for decades now in eastern Congo, and they really deserve a bit of peace and quiet and a normal life. Whether that happens, I don't know. I'm not in a position to say, but we certainly hope so.
And as you were saying, probably many of these elderly people who you're seeing in the camps or left behind in their villages, they've sort of been through these conflicts before repeatedly, and especially where the Rwanda conflict was going on.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, well, much of the population has been through it, and the older you are, the more times you've been through it. And certainly in eastern Congo, we know that decades of civil war have been responsible for the deaths of 5 million people. It's a situation which is really totally intolerable.
Okay, and if anybody is listening to this program, is there a way that they can help your organization?
Yes, well, if you go to our website, and you can read about individual stories of older people who are suffering and the way that we're helping them in eastern Congo and in other countries as well, and any support that people can give us, we're, of course, extremely grateful for, and we'll make sure it gets to those who need it.
Frances Stevenson, HelpAge's Emergency Response Manager.